I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Second and goal. Kissick has a touchdown, has two touchdowns now into the end zone. J.D. McKissick for Washington.
Monday Night Football and Steve Levy's call last night for ESPN. We're Grant and Danny. We're welcoming you back on a Victory Tuesday presented by Shaniga Myos. Visit MIOScareers.com. View open positions and apply today. Three straight wins for the football team under Ron Rivera. They are, as of this moment, in the playoffs. Seven teams get in. Washington is the seventh seed in an NFC where there's only four teams or so that are on the right side of 500 at this point. How good has Jack Del Rio's defense been the last few weeks?
Very.
That's the part of this that's going a little bit under-talked about, in my opinion. Because, look, they are running the ball really well. That's awesome. And it's been a game-changer offensively. Heinicke, by and large, has protected the football, just the one interception in the last three games. Really, really good. But the biggest reason for this turnaround has been that the defense that they built to be top 10, top 5, that was bad at the early part of this season, has actually been fantastic of late. And over the three games in this winning streak, they're allowing 279 yards per game. That's fourth best in the NFL. They have become the top 5 defense, again, that we were saying that they might be able to be. That's the level they have played at here recently. And it hadn't all been because Seattle's not very good on offense, or Cam Newton and the quarterback room in Carolina is washed up and struggling. The Bucs are in there too, remember. They shoved it on Tom Brady. They made him look bad as well. They held Seattle to 34 rushing yards last night, the ninth fewest by a opponent of the football team since 2000. Third fewest the Seahawks have had in any game running the football in 21 years. Washington held the Seahawks to 10 first downs, the fewest they've allowed since allowing 7 in 2017 game against the Giants. And if you go back through it, no Seahawks team has ever only run for one first down like they did last night under Russell Wilson. Hadn't happened in that organization in 12 seasons worth of football. It was a really suffocating, dominating defensive effort. And even though Wilson's been struggling and that offense is broken, just comparing it to the other games that they've played recently, Washington's defense did better than a lot of those other defenses have.
And you know, these two plays are on the ledger too, but I'm just trying to offer something about, you know, 58 minutes or 59 minutes of dominance. Obviously, it was less than that because Seattle didn't have the ball very much. But there were two plays for Seattle that totaled 87 yards. Two plays that totaled 87 yards. The rest of the day, 180 yards. So two drives feature huge plays. The one to Tyler Lockett, that blown coverage where they don't communicate in the secondary, that plagued them early on in the season. That happened, that goes against them, obviously. But outside of that, just to illustrate how truly excellent this defense was, there was nothing that Seattle could do, it seemed like, that Washington wasn't going to be swarming all over. Every run, every bit of misdirection, short passing they tried, downfield stuff they were getting pressure in Russell Wilson's face. Outstanding defensive effort. Outstanding.
Terry McLaurin will be on the show, as always, at 4 o'clock the day after the game. Normally, it's Mondays with McLaurin. Today, it'll be Tuesday with Terry. Welcome in our Richmond audience, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. Appreciate you guys listening. To everybody else up here on 106.7, our flagship, who's been with us since 2. We're taking you up to 6:30 on The Fan. And, of course, you can listen coast to coast via the Odyssey app. Pause the show, rewind it. But make sure, whatever you do, that you are listening in 55 minutes when Terry McLaurin stops by. Game balls to the best, gassers to the worst. Greg's waiting in Purcellville. Greg, Washington a winner again, buddy.
Hallelujah, man. Heinicke, obviously, it would be my choice, but I love the way he's checking down. He likes to be like Brett Favre, but he's not forcing the ball on there. My gasser, Tressway. I mean, come on, dude. You caused that whole scene. You could have tackled that guy, really just jumped on his back when he was returning that block kick. He just bounced off him like, you know. And then what's the deal with the 2 points when they're kicking for 1 point and you score two? Shouldn't it be 2 points if they're doing a 2-point conversion? You get two.
It's also 2 points if you return a 2-point conversion attempt. Kind of quirky, weird thing, I guess, but it's always been a little bit intuitive to me. If the point after fails and you return it, it's like a safety, you get the 2 points. The only 1 point play in football is the extra point.
I've always felt like that should be worth more than 2 points.
Really?
Because that's such a yeoman's feat. That's such an impossible thing to do.
I don't like it being worth more than two. I think two is right for me.
I don't know what I would assign it, because a touchdown feels aggressive.
What about two and a half?
Two feels like not enough to me. Two, it doesn't feel Goldilocks to me.
Do you realize that Washington's time of possession yesterday, 41 minutes and 40 seconds, was the fifth largest amount of time that they've held a football in a game in the history of the team? Top five ever. And on top of that, it was the best time of possession as a team the Washington football team has managed since 1990.
Amazing.
I wasn't even two yet when they held. I don't know how this is even possible, but I guess, you know, this team was great at one point in time.
Yeah, they, I was going to say, they were really good.
They did some wacky things. 49 minutes and 50 seconds against the Lions. Thanks for showing up, Detroit. Run six plays
when
and
was
go
that?
Home.
Do you have that?
1990. November 4th, 1990 against Detroit. I don't know what the score would have been. They must have beat them by 40. They had the ball for almost 50 minutes in that game. But this was the best time of possession game for the football team since then. I'm going to let Tressway off the hook based on that call. I understand what you're saying. You'd like him to make the tackle. He's a punter. Doesn't do many tackling drills. Kind of out of his element there. So I'm going to let him slide on that. And he's right about Heinicke taking what's given to him now. Checking it down, I guess, is what he called it. Heinicke has the third highest completion percentage in the NFL over the last 3 weeks. 77.5%.
It's all, the marriage is there. It's all what's being designed, what they're majoring in, what he's doing, because he deserves credit for playing well. He deserves credit for kind of finding that perfect, you know, where the needle kind of goes to rest. If it's too aggressive, if it's too much backyard football, that's probably not great. If he's a conservative Craig just trying to execute from the pocket, that's not great either. It's this happy medium that they found since the bye week where he's played pretty well.
Third highest quarterback rating in the NFL over the last three games post bye week. Taylor Heinicke, best quarterback in the league against Carolina last week. This was not quite that, but he's got just one pick over the last three games. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington on G&D. What's up, Kevin?
What's up, Kevin?
Hey, boys. First of all, that Detroit game, look it up. It was one of the most incredible comeback wins.
Overtime game.
Shut up.
Yeah.
The 91 team said that that was the game that sort of got them thinking, hey, we've got the stuff of a Super Bowl champion. We just got to put it all together. And they won a hell of a lot of games from that point forward then into the 91 season. Anyway, wanted just to mention that since it brought back that memory.
Hold on. So you're telling me.
It's not the dominant one, because the next year they open up against Detroit 45-0 that Kevin's talking
correct.
About. The year before, to go, I think it was like to go 5-3 or like the middle of the season.
Well, I'm looking.
Yeah,
I got it in front
amazing,
of me.
It was this amazing comeback. Jeff Rutledge had the score on a 2-point conversion.
You're right. I mean, they outscored really the Lions 17-0 in the fourth quarter to go to overtime, and then they won 41-38. Looks like a Chip Lowmiller field goal. Great memory by you.
Yeah, well, that game was really something. So it's Victory Tuesday. I'm very excited, although, Grant, you know, from some of the texts I sent you last night, it wasn't at the end. And so I want to start with the gasser real fast, and it's sort of a collective one. There was just lacking situational awareness from Gibson going out of bounds again instead of going down to run the clock, to Rivera not having a kicker option ready, a plan B, to our secondary going into what I call prevent victory mode, and then the wide open Swain on the touchdown. And then even the hands team. I mean, Freddie Smoot in the post game on the other station was just livid about the way the Hands team handled that onside kick, which thankfully was penalized and they had to kick it again. But on the positive, and it's, I think it's a huge game ball, is Fuller repaid the favor on the two-point conversion by intercepting it and basically shutting down the game, you know, just before that onside kick attempt. I think that play by Fuller was gigantic, and he deserves a lot of credit for that.
Appreciate you, buddy. I think the new rules, which demand that you have a certain number of players on either side of the ball, make it harder to just put your hands team along the line like you used to do, right? Mm-hmm. When you go onside kick in Madden, there's going to be 11 guys standing there who are all wide receivers ready to field the ball. And that's what teams used to do. And this has now become, I think, a really difficult thing, honestly. But you got to do it better than they did it. I mean, they really got lucky. I know a couple of people said they touched the ball before 10 yards. A, I'm not convinced of that. I thought it was right at the line.
It's close enough, yeah.
B, there was a hand in there. They could have easily ruled that. You know, Washington's player, I think it was Adam Humphries, was diving for the ball. It touched his glove as you know it got hit by the Seahawk as well. I mean, you just got to be able to close and finish, and they got a little help in doing so. But Kendall Fuller essentially sealed it with that pick. And at FedEx Field 7 years earlier in 2014, which I think was his first year in the league, he picked off Russell Wilson on Monday Night Football, so it was kind of poetic for him to run it back. And now maybe they'll learn his name on the broadcast, and they won't call him by his brother's
Kyle.
Name. Let's go to Paul in D.C. on Grant and Danny. Paul, Washington's won three straight, man. What's up?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, my game ball, I'm going with Sly, man. I just love his effort on that, trying to stop the guy from on the 2 points.
Yeah, it cost him a few weeks, though, Paulie.
Huh?
He got hurt. It cost him a few weeks.
I understand that, but they better bring him back. Ron Rivera better bring that man back. He shouldn't lose his job for that. I mean, that's what the team needs. And I know Dustin Hopkins wouldn't have definitely went for him. So I'm glad that he at least tried to stop him. And my gasser is going to be the special teams unit in general. Something's going on with this coach, this team on special teams. It's not all the kickers' faults, but we've had too many incidents, whether it's the two, because they almost got the second onside kick after the penalty.
True.
And then you're talking about
block extra points to start with, yeah.
No, but that's, he was just saying. I mean, you've had.
Add them all up.
Blewett had three kicks blocked.
Uh huh.
Now, I think those were mostly low and Blewett issues.
I think they were him.
So it's maybe coincidental that last night happened. I didn't go back, frankly, and watch close enough. I don't know if Sly kicked it too low or whatever. But you've had four kicks blocked, just anecdotally, top of the head. You had an onside kick recovery. You got bailed out by a penalty. And you had almost the second onside kick recovered. But before you get in anything else, they've had some huge moment on special teams. DeAndre Carter returned a kick for a touchdown as well. So, you know, we'll point those out. But there have been some of those plays where you go, let's tighten this up a little bit.
So just for me, I didn't think that was on Sly. Rashim Green, the guy that made an incredible play, by the way. That dude was all over the field last night. He broke through the line and got a paw on it, and then it bounced right to him when he picked it up and ran with it. That, to me, is, again, kind of a – you start to add up with DeAndre Carter put one on the carpet. I know they're not all the same unit, but still, special teams costing you. The way they play, you can't afford that kind of stuff. You can't afford in close-type games to not have things just be A-OK right there. I'm not talking about big play. Big plays are awesome if you can get them. If you can get a DeAndre Carter touchdown, that's amazing, or a huge return. But you just can't screw us, I think, at this stage. And all of a sudden, it's been leaking that way a little bit. When you add up last night, not a great showing.
800-636-1067. Game balls to the best, gassers to the worst from last night's win. Todd's in Savannah. Todd, you're on Grant and Danny. The football team dominant in dictating terms. They ran 79 plays to 45 for Seattle. They outgained them by 104 yards last night, Todd.
Hey, Dan and Granny. How's it going?
Ball.
What's up, Otto?
I have a game ball that I'd like to dedicate to Danny.
Whoa.
The pride of Erasmus Hall Educational Campus, a national champion with the Ohio State University, number 10 on the field, and number one in your heart.
Oh, wow.
Curtis the Groin Samuel.
The Groin. It's his house. He sleeps 20 feet away.
Two touches last night.
Two touches.
Right, two touches of the football. And by the way, in one of them, he showed a little burst, I thought.
Well, he celebrated. I'm going, oh, just please be safe. Just relax, Curtis.
He also had a killer block a killer block.
Yes, he did on the McKissick touchdown.
Appreciate you. Thank you. And good bit. One catch for 9 yards.
Uh-huh.
He got up and he danced like it was his Super Bowl. I mean, how many lonely afternoons on the side field?
The Curtis Samuel side field.
How many evenings scrolling through Twitter, seeing people joaning? And he just, and by the way, kudos to the fan base last night.
Yeah, I thought
those
it was awesome,
you that
by the way.
Go to these games, you get it. You're loud, you're active, you're energetic, you're invested, you care, you love this team, and I love you for it. But when he caught that pass, and the dude, I don't know who their Jerome is from the Nationals, but whoever the longtime voice at FedEx Field, the guy that goes, "It's third down and long," that guy, he goes, "Reception made by number 10, Curtis Samuel." And he's probably like looking up, who's this guy? Who's number 10? When he said Curtis Samuel, the whole stadium went nuts. I mean, they really did. I loved it. It tells you this is a smart fan base. They are with it. They get it. But there was a nice, probably almost like your Bronx cheer reception with some excitement to see this import that they spent a lot of money on. It's like, oh my God, it was Curtis Samuel.
This was the offensive fix.
And he got a 4-yard carry on jet action last night as well. So the bad news is he could be out for a few weeks.
Yep.
It's a tough workload for him. Two times he touched the ball for 13 yards. But the good news is we know what he looks like now. Let's go to Brendan in La Plata on G&D. Hey, Brendan.
Hey, Grant and Danny. Big fan, guys.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Hey, so I have a couple of game balls and a couple of gassers. So my first one, of course, is Antonio Gibson. Just ran his heart out. I love him for it. Angry Gibby is fun Gibby. Rivera is another one. And Heinicke. And the one I just thought of is J.D. McKissick. Making big play after big play every single time he gets the ball. Gasser goes to the Shazer Everett for missing Swain on the last drive. And my last gasser is to Kaiser, our special teams coach.
Nate, yeah, appreciate you.
Appreciate you, dude. What'd you make of that Everett? On the telecast, they made it seem like that was on him.
Yeah.
Hard to tell.
I did not go back and watch that to the extent that I need to really know whose fault that was. It's very possible it was his. He wasn't on the field much. They had some issues right there at the end where guys are getting tired, coming in on and off. You get some players banged up at safety. I think Landon Collins had limped off, you know, earlier. And so that's a tough position to be thrust into. You don't get many reps. You don't get many opportunities. And now you got to go out there and in the heat of everything and try to be mistake-free. But I'd have to see it again. As far as McKissick goes, he actually has one other game on his resume where he caught a touchdown and ran for a touchdown, which I slept on. He did that with Seattle in 2017. He's just a good football player. And he got him for nothing last year. It was a great find. They've had a few of these, most of them last year, honestly. Very few this offseason, but DeAndre Carter would be the great example of a home run on the cheap that they hit this offseason. We give him credit for that. And he mentioned Antonio Gibson, 146 scrimmage yards, a career best for him. A running back has not done that here since Adrian Peterson went for a $1.56 all-purpose against the Giants 3 years ago. It was a prolific game for Antonio Gibson. Let's go to Zach in Gainesville on Grant and Danny. Zach, game balls and gassers. We're winding down here, giving out some awards for last night.
Gotcha, man. Hey, big fan, guys. Hey, my game ball, I'm going to give it to Rivera, man. He's just like a really cool coach. When he gets all excited and fired up, in the fourth quarter, we were like in a third and long situation, and he was screaming at Heinicke with two fingers in the air, you know, from the sideline.
I love that.
Use third and fourth down. It was awesome.
So wait,
then,
what happened?
Gasser.
So give me a second, Zach. I'm going to explain this to GP.
Let him finish real quick, and then
I'm
going to punt.
Oh, you know, Gasser goes Gerald Everett for getting pie-faced by the pants, by the fan in the McLaurin jersey. You guys should ask McLaurin if you saw that.
We will ask McLaurin about it. And if you guys know who did that, tell him to call in. 800-636-1067.
So this is before you say, "Hey, there's a chip shot field goal." They're driving down. Penalty happens. Rivera, usually very stoic and kind of passive on the sideline, letting everybody else kind of do things, flips up his headset and makes his way out onto the field and is telling Taylor Heinicke, "You've got two downs. You've got two downs here." In other words, don't force something that isn't there
because
we're going for it here on fourth. Just to let you know, just to keep that in the back of your mind. Check down. Seattle didn't play it properly, in my opinion, by the way. They backed off to the sticks. So you get 80% of that with a check down. Then you got a fourth and manageable, which they pick up the next play. I loved that moment. That was smart all in.
Yeah, I still can't believe that there was no one that could have potentially kicked a 21-yard field goal. But I still love the aggressiveness. And if that's the case, and he's out there telling them beforehand, hey, settle down. We're going for it on fourth. Or were you talking about earlier?
It's a little earlier. So before the
that drive?
Yeah, that's the first fourth down that they got.
Right.
The second one was could someone just kick a 20-yarder?
So that one is even common sense. Yeah. Like, Taylor Heinicke probably knows it because you don't have a kicker, so you got to go for it. But even still, let him know. Get in his ear. I always say that the head coach should tell the coordinator before he calls the plays. He's got to know on third down.
Mm-hmm.
We got an extra one here, coach, or not? Am I calling for getting 4 yards in the next two plays or on this one? Big difference. And for the quarterbacks, same thing.
So third and 12 from the 30 right there.
Yeah.
If you get something you're not kicking a field goal. Exactly.
Receiver.
Then the next one is that pass over Logan Thomas to DeAndre Carter.
So intuitive and common sense, frankly, but get in his ear. Let him know. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got a lot going on at the quarterback position. There's plenty of things you're thinking about. You can get flustered and kind of not think about, oh, we don't have a kicker here, so I got to get 13 on third and 12. And that fourth down throw was when I was talking about to Carter, which I thought was the biggest throw of the game. Just looped over the top of the outstretched hands of Logan Thomas, which was, I mean, it was just a good, good ball from him. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny if you want to hop in. Who should we be giving kudos to after last night? Who is feeling themselves and should be after these three straight wins? We'll get into that next right here on The Fan. Remember, in 40 minutes... Terry McLaurin live on Grant and Danny.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What did you like most about the way you got this win?
This guy's grinding it out. You know, we had a bunch of adversity. Another center go down. We had our four-string center in. Kicker go down. We're going on fourth down, going for two-point conversion. So it wasn't the most ideal situation, but we fought through it.
Taylor Heinicke with Lisa Salters on the Monday Night Football broadcast last night on ESPN. Welcome back. Grant and Danny on the Fan, taking you up to 6:45. Terry McLaurin will be with us at 4 o'clock. In the 4 o'clock hour at 4:25, we got to get into Heinicke, who's made it three straight strong performances out of the bye week, starting to play a lot more consistent brand of football, and not coincidentally, Washington's winning football games. At 5 o'clock, who should be getting the credit for this turnaround? Along those lines, there are a few players, there's a few coaches, I think, that are deserving of just a little attaboy and basically a pat on the back. Landon Collins has completely turned his season around.
His career, can I say that?
You can say whatever you want. I mean, it's possible. Here's the question about that. I don't think he wants to do this. He's made it very clear, in fact. He doesn't want to play linebacker. It's not that he's not good at it. He's great at it. He probably knows that. Number one, he might have a slightly inflated view of what he is as a safety. But also, this is bad on your body. I mean, it really is. Like, ask Cole Holcomb.
It's hard to sustain.
He feels, and he's an undersized guy. He's not that big.
Mm-hmm.
So to take the wear and tear, like taking on
pulling guards and tight ends,
and guards, like that hurts. But he's been great the last month or so. Really, going back to the Denver game, I thought he was marvelous. What about the hustle fumble he had last night?
What a play!
The Josh Norman peanut punch, where the ball flew 18 feet into the air, and Washington got it back.
Yeah, after Washington's own turnover, where Taylor Heinicke tried to do too much, force a ball that Brett Favre would have said, good throw, like that kind of throw that he just can't do. And so it's turnover. Here comes Seattle, one big gain already. And then a second one looks like it's going to go for, you know, double-digit yards. And there he was, chasing the play down, making a football play. How about John Metzko? That's your offensive line coach. It's a guy I couldn't have picked out of the lineup before last night when they showed him. Doesn't matter. Who's healthy, who's not? John's going to coach him up, and they're going to be just fine. That line has held up tremendously well despite tons of turnover.
When they got on a roll last year, I remember you and I at some point basically going around the roster and calling out some of the assistants that coach position groups, like Pete Hayner, who coaches the tight ends because of what they were getting out of Logan Thomas and what have you. But this staff, there are areas I would say still where there's a little bit to be desired. Like, I got some questions about how they handled the defensive linemen, that talented group, whatever. But with sticking with the theme of the O-line, What a job he's done.
Yep.
You don't hear a lot about him. Like, Bill Callahan sneezed and someone wrote a column about it. When he was here coaching linemen, everywhere he goes, he's one of the biggest stories in the building. They got an O-line coach right now. You're right. It's a next man up thing where they keep dropping like flies. They lose one player after another, and it doesn't seem to faze them that much.
Four different centers. A guy that's not a center was playing center last night, and then he got hurt. Wes Schweitzer's a guard, and a pretty good one at that, by the way. Eric Flowers, it's a different system than he was in 2 years ago where he was kicking everybody's butt. He's kicking everybody's butt again. It's really, really impressive what they've done.
I also just like the way this team is coming together in that, the Rivera post-game address that we played earlier is awesome. Not only because of how into it he is and then Heinicke throwing the rock and everyone reacting, but if you look at the faces of the players when Rivera is screaming and he's saying everything we need's in this locker room, everybody in here is important to us, like you see them nodding in the facial expressions of Tim Settle and Deron Payne and Brandon Scherff, Cole Holcomb, like those guys are feeding out of his palm. They're picking up everything he's putting down. This team has that vibe. There is a togetherness about this group that is scary if you're an opponent right now. I mean, they really are feeling themselves. They're not that talented in the grand scheme of things.
No.
They've got some talent. They're short in positions and areas, but they're starting to come together. But I saw something last night that just, to me, I said, that's it. This is how teams, something special could be happening. Logan Thomas did his post-game press conference. Did you see what he did at the end of his post-game press conference?
I didn't know.
Completely unsolicited, completely random. He talks last night, and then at the end of his press conference, I'm going to paraphrase because I don't have the exact quote in front of me. He goes, hey, just one more thing, guys. You all need to start giving Cam Curl some respect. He's a top five safety in the league, and nobody talks about it. And he, like, walked off of the podium.
Oh.
And he was not doing it in any way as a jerk. It was not, like, a rude comment or anything. It was literally like, hey, while I have you guys. And he even said, like, go watch the film. And if you don't think he's a top five safety, let me know. But I'll bet you will. It was almost like a, hey, I haven't been around for several weeks, and so I've gotten to see how the team's covered. And just so you're all understanding, Cam Curl's great, you never talk about him. But that's a tight end talking about a safety. Now he deals with him in practice. But it'd be another thing if he's like, guys, you're sleeping on John Bates. This kid is good. Like, they're in the meeting room every day. They're probably having, like, tight ends dinners on Thursdays. Just two random dudes in the locker room. You play random car ride with the Washington football team. Picture a guy driving. Picture a guy in the shotgun seat. Logan Thomas and Cam Curl, two different position groups. And he's just putting his neck out on the line after a press conference to say how good the guy is. Like, when you start getting stuff like that and players caring about each other, we always see it with Heinicke. These guys seem to like to rally to play with him. It just means that there's something going on in that locker
room. Well, you get that. It can be disingenuous. It can be fake. Right, where people go, nobody believed in us, said the 14-2 Patriots. Like, everyone believed in you all the time. Well, really and truly, with this group, nobody believed in them. And my hand's going up, maybe a couple guys, but for the most part, nobody did. 3 weeks ago, when they're dead to rights, where they're just playing out the string, we're talking about draft picks, okay? Now, all of a sudden, they've got it. And they've got that nobody believes in us, it's us against the world vibe. That's a dangerous thing. And you see it with this whole David and Goliath shtick, where they're throwing the rock at the, or throwing the stone at the damn wall. Nobody believes in us but us. It's about us versus the world. When you get everybody together in on that kind of vibe, it can be powerful. And it is right now.
Let's go to Brian and Bowie. What did you think of the game last night?
Wonderful game. Loving it. So fun to watch now.
Yeah, three straight wins.
A game ball and a gasser.
Go.
The game ball goes to the fan in the front row who shoved the Seahawk off the wall when he tried to celebrate up there. He gets the game ball. The gasser for this game, again, and it's a repeat, is the plumbing at FedEx Field. It's atrocious. They need plumbers there.
There was a sprinkler that went off in a suite last night. And to my knowledge, there wasn't a fire that it was responding to. Just the sprinkler went off.
Apparently, they got everyone out of there dry, which is good. They got relocated to another suite, and they were able to move on. I mean, a lot of the fans were shooting videos I saw below, and I get it. It's funny. It's a rundown bad stadium. I don't know what anyone's supposed to do. And I don't mean this to, like, take air out of the fun balloon. But I care about the football game. I mean, honestly, like, a bunch of people were doing shtick in the press box, like, talking about it. And I just, my point was, I don't know. Like, that's not interesting to me. I hate to be all Ron Rivera here and talk about what's interesting and what's important. But I get how we got here. I know why it's funny. FedEx Field is terrible. It's low-hanging fruit. I don't know what they're supposed to do. It's probably a poorly upkept stadium for many years, and they're paying for it now. I don't know. Hopefully that doesn't happen again next game. I feel bad for the people that were in the suite that got moved. Apparently they were all dry, and apparently they got to go somewhere else and enjoy the game. Hopefully they get comp for another game or something. It's about what I got on it. But I know it's fun to poke fun at FedEx. It's a terrible place.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more interested in it than you are, certainly. I
understand.
I would say that there are lots of old buildings that don't just leak water on people. Like, I don't know what, I'm not a plumber. I'm not an expert in stadium facility maintenance or anything. But
sure.
Again, it's a multi-billion dollar organization. Somebody's got to spring for something.
Right, but what should they have done yesterday before that to make sure that didn't happen?
So day of, while it's happening, I'm not sure what you do other than what they did.
I don't mean day of in general. I just mean, like, I don't know that this regime that's here now that has to now clean up the mess literally and figuratively, I don't know what they could do. I think it's, you know, this is what happens when you have a stadium that probably has been poorly kept for many years.
Well, they're capable of some stuff because the grass is awesome now. Like, it wasn't before. So if we'd said
but
the same thing.
Supposed to rebuild the entire stadium to make sure there's no leaks?
I don't know if rebuilding the whole thing.
What they did with the grass. They literally.
Different processes.
4 feet of ground out and put 4 feet of ground back in across the whole field.
I would say fix a pipe or two. I would say I'd start there. I mean, again, I'm not an expert in this field. I'm talking out of my tuchus. I know that lots of places don't rain water down on people. When you have a thing, an event once a week and you've had, what, seven things have been there? Six things have been there?
Yeah.
And two of those six times, water has come out of a pipe or a ceiling onto people. I just feel like somebody's got to do something like yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know if they have or have not.
I don't either.
I would imagine they've probably done something. I mean, not knowing anything, if that happened in my house, I'd have to call someone. I wouldn't know how to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would say is, if they haven't done this, they should. They should get someone, whoever does this, to come look and make sure that the pipes are strong. That's what
yes.
they should do. But again, I get that it's funny. I get that everyone likes to joke about it. I care so much more about, like, why is Jamin Davis not better? Why is DeAndre Carter so good and no one knew it? And is he going to lose reps to Curtis Samuel now? Like, but I understand people love the shtick. And I'm not joning. It sounds like I am. Have your fun. Like, explore the space. It's just not for me. Let's go to Brian in D.C. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I have two game balls, and they're both going to the same person, which is Gibson. First, for that run that he had where he held on to the pulling guard and tackle that looked so reminiscent of Curtis Porter back in the day.
Hold on to Mike Sellers' jersey. Yeah.
Yeah. So he had that run yesterday where he kind of just held it to until they split and made the lane for him and he ran through it. And then the second game ball I want to give him for is his maturity on how at the beginning of the game he was getting blown up on some of those runs and he kept his composure until the fourth quarter where he just laid that one dude out on the sideline and was like, this is the payback for earlier.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that play. And again, this is now, I was texting with a buddy. We're just old curmudgeons watching sports. But, you know, Jamal Adams and a couple other guys are celebrating major hits after like 5 or 6 yard gains. Just now, it's become standard. You got to jump around like a crazy person if you make contact with the ball carrier. But I think it was Reeder, maybe somebody else. But that collision on the sideline where Antonio Gibson smashed that dude out of bounds and kind of stood up and never was in any danger of falling down and just walked away was the most badass moment of the game.
Was that DJ Reed, the DB?
It might have been DJ Reed, yeah.
It was great. And it was like right on the chalk, basically. The two came together, shoulder to shoulder. Low man
and
won.
Gibson shrugged his ass off and just walked away without doing anything, without flexing in the guy's face. I won that. You go talk to your teammates.
He was thumping.
God, it was great.
The two spin moves were his Mona Lisa's, but he was lowering the boom. Like, he was blowing people up like a linebacker. Just so happened that he was carrying the football as a running back. That dude was a college wide receiver. Weird to think about.
She talked about that all the time, by the way.
Just, man, he was running angry. That was a Mike Alstadi type performance. Terry McLaurin in 18 minutes at 4 o'clock right here on Grant and Danny. Who gets an attaboy? Who you happy for? Everyone's lined up. You got to go give one person in the organization kudos on last night or this winning streak. Who you choosing? That's the question on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Under trouble, can't get out of there. Going to be dropped. Cam Curl from his free safety position comes up with the first sack. for Washington. Make it five consecutive three and outs for the Seattle offense.
That was the second time all season in the NFL that a team had to punt three and out five straight drives. How about Jack Del Rio's defense? And on that third down, Kemp Curl got the sack. He and Landon Collins kind of tied in their race to the quarterback. But everyone was on the line of scrimmage. Full house. They dropped two dudes, and I want to say eight or nine went. And it was the safeties that got home.
So they were putting this out on the telecast. They've run this blitz a few different times, and it's really creative. Based on which way they put a lineman in some way, whether it's a guard or center, whoever, they put him in a position where he has to make a choice. So let's say you and Darius and me and Ryan are both hovered over the guy. Whoever he goes to block continues with their blitz, and the other guy drops in coverage. It's a really hard thing to pull off, but when you do, it's butt confusing, and they don't know which guy's coming loose. It's a really, really cool thing that they're doing.
So the dude who shoved Gerald Everett?
Tim Shovers.
When he tried to jump into the crowd, he tried to do the Landover leap. Everyone's been talking about it all day. We gave him a game ball. Some callers have given him a game ball. Everett tried to celebrate, jump into the first row, into the crowd, and this guy kind of slid over 8 or 9 feet and shoved him and didn't let him get into the stands. I said, hey, if you know him, hit him up. Let him know we're looking for him. We found the guy. I think we found him. And we actually had to quiz him on what he was wearing, who he was sitting next to. We went back. We studied the video to make sure. And this is really him. So his name is, I believe, Angelo from Edgewater. Is this you, Angelo?
Yes, sir.
So you're
That's
the
me.
Guy that
this
showed
is me clapping.
Gerald Everett?
Yes, sir. That was me.
So what happened? Take us through the moment. Let's go back through the play. We're going to do this with Terry McLaurin at the top of the hour at 4 o'clock. You take us through it.
Well, you know, they came in and scored, and I was throwing my hands up, you know, in, like, frustration. And then I saw him running at us, and just natural instinct took over, and I had to get him out of there.
Because I see there are three people who are seated next to you.
Yeah, were you with the people to your right that were sitting down?
The guys next to me. I was with the guys that were standing up. The guys that were sitting down, he was running right at them, and they weren't going to do nothing. So I couldn't let him just, you know, jump in the stands like that.
No, you couldn't.
And you gave him the business. That, by the way, is not a small person. That's an NFL tight end, dude. That's not a scat back that jumped up there. That's 6'5", 250.
Yeah.
So you slid to your right like 5 feet. How hard did you shove him? Was it more of like hands up just to keep him from coming in?
Or was it a full extension? I was just trying to get him out of the stand.
Well, you did it.
Successfully.
How soon after did it become like a viral video? Was anyone talking to you or hitting you up that knows you?
I got 20 text messages in 10 minutes. You know, they were people watching the game at home.
Going, you just shoved Gerald Everett out of the stands.
So what's the text message count at now? What's it been like since?
It's been a busy day.
What about media stuff?
Just you guys. A couple people just texted me and said, hey, call into the fan, and they're looking for you. So
awesome. Awesome. So we do a segment called Game Balls and Gassers, where we give game balls to the best performances and gassers to the worst. My first game ball, Angelo, was you. That was awesome.
My man.
That was an amazing, wonderful thing. Obviously, I hate when another team scores and they celebrate in my face and whatever. Yeah. You are a hero. Yes, Angelo. Well, yes to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you have anything else to say, Angelo?
Nah, man. Just hail. Hail.
Love it.
Do you? By the way, you're wearing a 52 jersey. Was that a Jamin Davis jersey?
Yes, sir.
It's new.
Okay. Very
crisp and clean.
When did you buy that Jamin Davis jersey?
As soon as we drafted him.
All right.
Bless you.
How do you feel about him so far? Pretty good?
Yeah, man. He's the next up-and-coming best linebacker in the league. He's got all the talent. He just got to put it together on the field.
By the way, he was wearing a Jamin Davis, and his boy was wearing a Curtis Samuel.
These guys are in, and I love it.
I mean, they are all the way in. Your boy, nice beard. He didn't slide over to help you out. Did you let him know afterwards you're a little disappointed? You're in the fox hole, and he didn't join you.
No, he knew I had it. He knew I had it. He trusted me.
All right.
He trusted you by sliding to the left about 10 feet.
Do you go to every game?
No, sir. That was the first game I've been to in a while. My cousin had the tickets, wanted me to go, but
love it.
I try not to go to too many home games.
Appreciate
I don't like
you,
giving
buddy.
Certain people my money.
Understood.
Understood, my friend.
He likes giving Gerald Everett the business, I'll tell you that much. There's Angelo in Edgewater.
That was awesome.
We did it. Before we talk to Terry McLaurin, Ray and Olney's got a story, I believe, about one of our Terry segments. So, Ray, we got to be quick because Terry's coming up at the top of the hour, but I was told you had a good story about our weekly Terry appointment.
Yeah, so yesterday, before the game, a lot of people come to where I work. It's a museum. And it was a lot of Seattle jerseys. It was four guys in homemade 17 T-shirts, burgundy, and each had a message on the front. One said, "I love you, Terry." One said, "The grass may be better, but not greener." But it was all about the segment you guys did when you wrote the letters. And they all had homemade shirts with a message to Terry McLaurin saying, "Don't want them saying, please don't go." It was hilarious. So I asked them, "Do they listen to you guys?" And they said, "We listen to whatever the station is in Richmond."
Oh, wow.
Amazing.
So Richmond know that. Group.
It was amazing.
Very cool. Thank you, Ray. So that's good. So they wrote their love letters on their T-shirt in hopes that Terry McLaurin might be able to see it in the crowd. Terry's going to join us next. He and that offense last night controlled the ball for over 40 minutes. First time since 1990 for the Washington football team. They got a third straight win, and we get to talk to Terry after a W for a third straight week. We'll do it live next on Grant and Danny.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.